I have to be honest with you, today snuck up on me. Not the fact that it is the Lord's Day, but the fact that it is Mother's Day. For somewhere in my mind, I was thinking next week is Mother's Day. And then somebody made the comment back toward the end of the week, Mother's Day is this what, Sunday? What, really? I did not know that. I'd forgotten that. And so I had a sermon and I had planned for this morning, going coinciding with what we had looked at last week about the shepherds and about what our shepherds are for the sheep and their responsibility. The one for this morning was going to be what our responsibility is to these men, our shepherds. And I hope that you will come back tonight. It's a personal invitation. I want to see all of you back tonight so that I can bring that out and look at some things that Scripture says to us about what we do, how we are to be for them and serving God. But today I want to take the time, because I haven't been able to do this now for a few years. Typically, May is our mission emphasis month, and we're usually having guest speakers in here, and I don't get the opportunity just to talk to you about our ladies, our mothers, and what God says about what you have done. And I want to begin by saying, first of all, if you are a mother, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you for your love that you've demonstrated to those of us who are your children. I want to thank you for your devotion to Christ, because the example you've set has been remembered in our lives, and I'm grateful for that. And I want to just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, to keep encouraging your children and your grandchildren. If you're a mother who has great grandchildren, them as well, or even beyond, to know Christ, to follow Him, and to serve Him. And this morning, as we think about some of the things, I want to just begin with saying this to you who are mothers, and that is, and this is something for all of us to hear, and that is that you mothers are a special part of God's creation. I want you to think about that for just a moment. You are a special part of God's creation. And men, we need to remember this. Because as the teaching of Scripture indicates to us, without mothers, the human race could not exist. If you go back to the book of Genesis, if you go back to the beginning, following God's creation of the first man, what does He say? He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. The old King James uses the term helpmeet, suitable for him. You may remember what God did. The Lord God, as we are told, caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. He took from his side a rib. From that rib, He fashioned a woman, and He brings her to Adam. And of course, Adam says, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And He tells us that she shall be called woman. But if you look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, we encounter an interesting statement. Here's what we find. Moses writes there for us, now the man, and we know him to be Adam, called his wife's name Eve, and she was the mother of all living. Do you realize that this is only the second time in all of Scripture that we encounter this word mother? It's found one other time prior to this, and it is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, right after Adam has been introduced to Eve, and after he said what he says, and then Moses makes the comment there in verse 24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. But do you know what Eve means? It means life. It means living. Mothers, you are the ones that bring life into this world. You are the ones who for 9 months carry that life in your womb and then rejoice, even though there's pain accompanying it, that a child has entered into this world. And without Eve, it was impossible for Adam to fulfill God's charge to him to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So to this day, there is joy and excitement at the little voices that we hear and the pitter-patter of little feet, and that is made possible because of an individual that we call mother. So don't forget that. You're very important in God's scheme of creation. But there's something else that makes you equally, if not more so, important. And that is that your children have an attachment to you that they don't have to anyone else in all of the world. That attachment is, first of all, by right of the fact that you brought them into this world, that you carried them in your womb for all that period of time. But I wanted to take you back to something else. It's in Isaiah 66. And in Isaiah, there God speaks to his prophet, Isaiah, of course. He's speaking about a future event when God will bring the people Israel back to the land of Palestine, the land of promise, after 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And in verse 13, what God does there is he compares himself to a mother who comforts her child. Here's the way he puts it. Verse 13, first part of that verse. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Now, I want you to think about that concept. One whom his mother comforts. Take you to another passage. Psalm 131. It's a psalm written by David. And there, what we find in verse 2, David writes these words. He says, surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. How many of us have seen a mother take an inconsolable child? Maybe we fathers have paced the floor, walked back and forth, done everything we could to try to quieten that child. And that mother take that child up, hold it close to her, maybe even start rocking a little bit. And she either starts humming or singing a song very softly, or she just sits there and just goes, shh, shh. And before you know it, that child is calm once again. We men try as we might. The majority of us do not have that talent. We don't have that ability. It's something that God gave to you. It is something that you do that quietens our souls. It is because of you that we know that comfort. And within a few minutes, you can bring that about. Now, I know there are times when there are exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, as a rule, this isn't something that only you mothers can do. We, as I said, we men aren't able to do that. This morning, I want to go back to what you heard in your reading. This statement that King Lemuel's mother, understand that what you're reading in Proverbs 31 are instructions that have been given by a king's mother to him about what she calls the excellent wife or the virtuous woman. Who can find her prices far above rubies or far above jewels? And she begins telling him, this is the type of person you want to look for. But when you get down to verse 28, I like the statement that she makes. Her children rise up, and in the translation that Eric read from this morning, rise up and bless her. That's the New American Standard. But most of our translations will say, her children rise up and call her blessed. Why? Why do a mother's children rise up and call her blessed? I'm going to use the word blessed as an acrostic, and we're going to work through those letters because I think there are a number of ways, and by no means have I covered the entire aspect of what it means to be a blessed person according to God's definition, ladies. But I want to begin with that. I believe that your children call you blessed because you're a person, mothers, who is beautiful in spirit. You know, many of you have been blessed with physical beauty. And yet King Lemuel's mother taught him that beauty of spirit is something to be prized in what she called an excellent wife. As a matter of fact, she put it, and it was in our reading this morning. If you go down and you look there in verse 30, she said this. She said, son, charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Mothers, over the years, your physical beauty will wane. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all recognize that. But even as that happens, there is a beauty of spirit that you have that grows brighter with each passing day. And that beauty of spirit is there because you continue to honor God with your life. and it just continues to grow and become more prevalent. And one of the instructions which the Apostle Paul gave to the Christians in Philippi, we find in chapter 4, verse 5 in Philippians, it's this: let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is at hand or near. This is the beauty that you want your children to remember you for. It's that gentle and quiet spirit that's within you. It's that person that shines through, even though the physical beauty may far have long ago have faded away. And it is that beauty for which they will rise up and call you a blessed person. I've got the most beautiful mom, they may say. But it's what's on the inside. Something else, as you think about that acrostic, is this: your children rise up and bless you because you are a listener. What do I mean by that? There's an ability which God has given to mothers that we as fathers just never seem to develop. What do I mean? I mean that you, as a matter of fact, we as men actually depend upon you in this area. It's one of the many areas that we depend upon you. But what I'm saying by that is God has given you the ability to tune into your children. You hear what they're saying when we as fathers just kind of move right on through the world and we never pick it up because you're in tune with their feelings, their emotions. You know when something is not right with their spirit. And many times you may come to us as fathers and you may say, I think you need to sit down and talk with John, or I think you need to go and just spend a little time with Maddie because she really could use you right about now. Really? Yeah, she could. She could. And it's because you mothers listen to your children, not just with your ears, but you listen with your heart, that your children turn to you when they want to share something about themselves in their lives. They don't typically come running to us men. They'll come to their moms. They'll call up mom. They'll say, Mom, let me tell you what happened today. Mom, let me tell you this. Because mom listens. Mom pays attention. Mom is there. Not only are you blessed because of this, but you bless our lives through your ability to hear us, to pay attention to our spirits, to know what's going on in our lives. And that will never be forgotten by those of us who are your children. Something else about you that stands out: you are blessed because you are encouragers. What do I mean? You are the one who often instills within us courage and confidence to proceed on, to tackle a project that I just can't do that. And Mom, you're saying, yes, you can. I know you can. I raise you. I know what you're capable of. You can do this. Have you ever stopped to think about what did Jochebed say to Moses as she was nursing him for Pharaoh's daughter? Remember, that was actually her son. But because she was fearing for his life, because many of the Hebrew children were being put to death, and she put him in that basket, and he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh sent for her to nurse him all through that time until his weaning. What was it she said to him? What words did she impart? What wisdom did she give him in the young years of his life? Or think about another woman by the name of Hannah, who had been childless, but was finally given a child. We know him to be Samuel. Two books in the Old Testament are named for him because he became a great prophet in the Old Testament, servant of God. But she gave him back to God. He lived there in Shiloh with Eli, the high priest at that time, and grew up in the tabernacle. She would come back every year and visit him at the time of the sacrifices. What things did she tell him? What is it that she may have written down and left with him for him to remember her by? Have you ever thought about that? What words of understanding did she give to him? What words of encouragement? And then what about Mary? You know, we read about Jesus, and we don't have much on his childhood at all. But what was it that Mary said to Jesus as she was raising him there in that little village of Nazareth that may have stayed with him in years to come? Something that mom had said at one point or the other. How many of us, because of our mother's encouragement, have gone on to become a success because of something she said? The greatest encouragement you can give to your children, mothers, is not on the ball field, It's not in the classroom. It's not anything out in society as much as it is the encouragement you give them in how to live a life that honors God. That's the greatest encouragement you can give to your child, pointing them to the day when they will obey the gospel, pointing them to the day when one day they will marry a young man or a young woman, and you're encouraging them. I want you to make sure that you look for somebody who will honor God with their lives as a spouse. I want you to make sure that you're the right person for them, because the only way you're going to have a godly home is if both of you are honoring God in your lives. You're encouraging them and guiding them and helping them to become what God wants them to be. Moms, encourage your children to love the Lord your God with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, and all of their strength. Encourage them to love their neighbors even as they love themselves. Take the time to teach them to use every opportunity to do good to all people, and as Paul would say, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Teach them, as he would say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the most important work that our children can be engaged in. And let them know that such labor is not in vain when it's done for God. You have that ability. They remember the things that you leave with them for many years to come. Encourage them in that. Something else about you. When we think about that acrostic, blessed, your children rise up and call you blessed. They bless you because you are a servant. Oh, does that title fit you? If anyone, it fits a mother. The mother is called blessed because she has that heart of a servant. If you look back at Proverbs 31, King Lemuel's mother describes the excellent wife. What does she say of this woman? Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household, portions to her maidens. You look down in verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor, she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is a servant. She is a servant of servants. Let me ask you, you who have grown up under a good mother, how many loads of clothes did she wash for you while you were growing up in that home? How many meals did she cook and you sat at her table? How many times did she drive you to ball practice? How many times did she drive you to school? How many times did she drive you to a friend's house? How many times did, and you just fill in the blank, did she take you everywhere she took you? How many times did she nurse a little wound? Put a Band-Aid on it, kiss it, make it better. How many times did she give you a bath at night before you were old enough to do it for yourself? And we could go on and on about all of the things that she did. How many times did you say, Mom, my favorite shirt that I hope to wear today, it's not in the closet. And at the last minute, she hand washes it, throws it in the dryer, and gets it clean so that you can have it on that particular day. She could have said, you've got a number of clothes in that closet, pick one that's clean and go on. I'm not going to go through the trouble of washing you another shirt right now. But for whatever reason, she did that for you. She took care of you. How many times did she brush your hair before you were old enough to brush it yourself? How many times, and you could just go on and on about all of the different things that she did. She's a servant. There's a little song that we find in our hymnals. It's over in, it's actually number 693, very short. But it has these words, they're very powerful words. Give me the heart of a servant, tender and faithful and true. Fill me with love, then use me, O Lord, so that the world may see you. Moms, it's through you that your children see God. It's through your service that you point your children to Christ. Don't ever forget that. That's the most important thing you can ever do, is keep pointing them to Christ. He was the perfect example of a servant, and every godly mother I know follows in his footsteps. But then there's another one. You're seed sowers. Your children call you blessed because you have constantly sowed seed that you hope will bear good fruit in their lives. If you go to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, Solomon has this to say. He says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Wrap them or tie them around your neck." And then you drop down, look at the very next verse, verse 22, and here's what he says. "When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you." If you listen to what your mother says, there'll be times when you will go, "I remember when Mom said this. I remember when Mom gave me this piece of advice. I remember when Mom shared this little bit of truth with me." And it just keeps coming back, doesn't it? When you're alone, when you're at school, when you're at college, and Mom's not there with you, those little pieces that she shared with you, those little pieces, that little seed that she sowed along the way is what's going to guide you and is what's going to see you through, and it's what you're going to keep drawing from over the years, even as you, if you're a young lady, become a mother yourself because of that. In Proverbs 31, verse 26, there's a statement that King Lemuel's mother makes. She said that this virtuous woman said she opens her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That's what you do, moms. You open your mouth in wisdom. You share bits of information that are truth. You share that piece of wisdom that we will need at some point in our lives down the road. And you have a way of sharing it that we listen to you. Sometimes we don't listen to Dad, but we listen to you. And so share that wisdom in a way that truly opens that heart, will cause them to think about the things that God considers truly important in their lives, and cause them one day down the road to say, "Mom had it right. She had it right." Your constant prayer since the day that you brought them into this world, I hope, has been that good seed that you keep sowing will produce a bountiful harvest in their lives. Two more things, and I'm going to conclude the lesson. Moms, you are examples. You are the example that we see day in and day out throughout our lives as long as we live under your roof and even beyond. You're setting an example that will live long after you are no longer here. Something that Paul wrote to Timothy in his first epistle, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 25, he says, "Deeds that are good are quiet, are quite evident." In other words, you can't hide good deeds. They're going to be seen. And moms, we remember your example. We noticed when you took a meal to somebody that was sick or an elderly individual. We saw you when you smiled and offered word. We heard the words of encouragement that you gave to somebody who was having a difficult day. We noticed when you spent time in God's Word. We listened to the prayers you prayed. Your humility, your love, your compassion, your self-sacrifice, so many other things about you stand out in our minds. They're burned in our memories. They're there for who knows until our lives are no more upon this earth. I wish that every one of you, and I don't know when that group comes through, only Miss Kayla knows that, but there is a group that comes through every so often and serves. They volunteer, they serve lunch for us. And every time they come, these mothers bring their little children. And I know I've mentioned this before, but it is fascinating to watch this. We come through the line, and there will be a mother who's serving the desserts. But what does she have? The little daughter is standing there. "What dessert would you like?" And this is a girl that's 4 or 5 years old. She's not in school yet. But what is Mom doing? This is how we do this. This is how we serve others. This is how we do what God wants us to do. "What dessert would you like?" And she hands you your dessert. You go down to get your drink, and there's a little boy there, and he's putting ice in glasses right and left. And there's another little boy standing right beside him, and Mom's behind them both, and he's pouring the drink as you ask for what he wants to drink, what you want to drink. What is Mom teaching those two little boys? She's teaching them, this is what Christians do. This is what service is all about. She's setting an example for them. And then, as we're sitting there at our tables, finishing our meal, suddenly here comes another mom with her child with a trash bag. "Can we take your trash for you?" And her little child will take the trash and put it in the trash bag, and they'll go on to the next table. You see, You're setting an example as you teach your children. This is what Christian service is all about. This is what we do as God's people. This is how we honor God in our lives. My plea is that you who are mothers will do something. That you will make sure that the example you set before your children is an example that will point them in one direction. The direction of heaven. The last thing I want to leave with you is this. I believe that you as Christian mothers are diligent in everything you do. I want you to notice two statements. I've already touched on them down here in Proverbs 31. One's in verse 15. King Lemuel's mother said, "She rises while it's still night." Verse 18, "Her lamp does not go out at night." The impression you get is that this woman just stays up all night long. What I find is that as you read the entire thing that we see from verse 10 all the way through the end of Proverbs 31 down to verse 31, is that you have a woman that is constantly engaged in doing for others. She's diligent in everything she does, whether it's buying a field, whether it's bringing things in from afar, whether it's fixing garments for her children. She's always diligent in doing something. She isn't sitting around waiting for something to happen, waiting for life just to kind of make its way through. She's constantly engaged in doing something that will benefit her and her family. And many of us in this room who have wives like that, we know what your worth is. It's far above jewels. There is no price, no value that we could put upon you. Men, when you joke about trading her in for a newer model, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to keep what you've got because you will never replace her with anything better. You've been blessed beyond measure. Sometimes we just need somebody to wake us up and make us realize it. But the last verse that was read for us this morning kind of sums it up. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Let her works praise her in the gates. You know, we sing, "We'll work till Jesus comes." And I know you mothers will keep doing it. You'll keep working and keep working and keep working because that's just what you do. It's who you are. You don't know any different because you're God's servant. You're an example to your children. You are truly blessed. And whether you are a son or a daughter here today, whether your mother's still living or whether she's gone on to her reward, make her proud. There's something that we find in Proverbs 23, verse 25. Here's something Solomon said. He said, "Let your father and mother be glad," and then listen to these words, "Let her rejoice who gave birth to you." Let your mother rejoice in the person you are becoming or in the person you have become. Let her be able to proudly say, "I've got a good son. I've got a good daughter. I've been blessed because she is blessed because you have followed her direction." Honor her today by living a life that is obedient to God's will. And if you're a person here today and you're living a life that you know mom would not approve of this, you know that your life does not honor Christ, you can change that. You can change that today by making the decision, "I no longer want to do what I've been doing. I want to change and I want to live a life that now honors God. I want to live a life that glorifies Him." You know, we had those three baptisms. One of the things that Mr. Carl said when he sat down right out here after his baptism is he said, "I get to go see Mom now." But he called her by her name. He knew. He knew the truth. Maybe your mom's gone on to her reward. Are you ready to go meet her? Have you lived a life that will allow you to do so? Because it's all about what Christ is doing in you. If you haven't honored Him with your life, if you haven't submitted to His will, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, confessed your sins, or turned from your sins, confessed Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, and been buried with Him in baptism, you're not ready to go. You're not ready to pass on from this life. And if you're a mother here today who hasn't given your life in obedient faith to Christ, the greatest example that you could set for your children is today to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be buried with Him in baptism. And I want to encourage you to do that. Don't let anything hold you back. If you need to respond right now, won't you come as together we stand and sing.